Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yay. Thank you, God, for having us here. Let's sing when we all get to heaven. Hymn number 542. Y'all stand, please. Hey. Hang on. Hang on. I told them 542. That's the wrong one.
What we?
27. 542. When we all get the. That is. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Come here, Joey.
All right. Let's start again. Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah. That is. Isn't it?
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Y'all help me out here.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Joey, sing that repeat. I want to hear that in those notes. When we all, what, okay?
Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Everybody sing out, last stanza.
Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gate will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Y'all have a seat.
Before we have prayer, probably you have heard, but Mr. Don Coker was taken into the emergency room and he is going to be admitted. The call from Lisa this afternoon, the last word that I've got was that they were in the ER still, waiting for a room. They're going to run some tests. He had passed out a couple of different times and was having some other issues when they took him in this morning. But he was stable and doing fine, but they thought maybe some dehydration and some other things. So we need to obviously keep Mr. Don and the rest of the family in our prayers. The last thing I did hear was a text from Gray probably less than an hour ago, and he said, we're still waiting for a room. So Mr. Don will be admitted. So let's be sure and remember the family in our prayers. Any other prayer requests tonight before we have our time of prayer? Uh-huh. Oh. Tony Templeton, okay. Absolutely. Yes, yes, Bobby. Okay, Bobby's got it unspoken. Okay. All right. Yes, Tom. Okay. All right.
Please remember Cheryl Wingard. She's still having problems with her heart. She goes back to the cardiologist Tuesday, and she goes to the doctor and puts her in tomorrow. So please remember Cheryl.
All right. We sure will. Yep. All right, let's pray. Lord, as we pause this evening, we want to take some special time to simply uplift each and every one of these requests before you. Lord, we understand that we really lack, you know, some understanding information and things that are going on, but we know that you don't. And especially tonight, we pray for Mr. Don and ask for your touch to be upon him. And Miss Lois Ann, it's been a difficult time the last month or so, well, even longer. But Lord, you understand what's going on. You know what's needed. And we pray for your care and your provision to be provided upon them. For the rest of these requests, again, we bring them to you because we believe in you. We believe that you have the power and the ability to transform circumstances and situations and, Lord, to do things that we just can't even begin to imagine that you can do. So, Lord, as we learned this morning, we know that all things are possible for you. So we bring them and ask for you to work miracles in each of these circumstances and each of these needs. Lord, as you've gathered us together tonight, Lord, help us that we will be faithful to you. Help us we'll be open to you. And, Lord, as we go through our time together, may we just hear your voice speak to us and allow you to give us the direction that we need, that we can go out this week and make a positive difference for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And at this time, Betsy is going to come and share some WMS stuff with us.
This is our Emphasis Month program. It's written by Jane Scoggin. God wants to hear from us. Psalms 10:17 says, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. We as women of our local churches plan and direct the work of the Women's Missionary Society. The word women's was used instead of women's because it is personal for each individual woman. Our purpose is to teach, promote, and support missions. The WMS logo was designed in 1994, depicting our four areas of service: study, prayer, missions, and youth. We have a plan of work listing special days and designated offerings. Also, there are basic requirements to become an honor society. Each society is encouraged to follow the plan of work as a suggested list of interests to the entire denomination and work toward being an honor society. In Acts 8:4, it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. In Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The WMS gives the individual woman an opportunity to share the gospel to all the world. Through our financial support and prayer for our missionaries, we fulfill our motto, Women with a Mission, and our verse, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you, John 20:21. Another purpose of the WMS is to enlist women in Bible study and missions. Each meeting involves Bible study and mission activities. It encourages more extensive personal Bible study as well. The WMS encourages individual mission action as well as group projects for the community. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The WMS would like to encourage every lady who is not already a member of one of our WMS to become actively involved. We have two active societies or circles, the Lois Jackson that meets every third Monday night, and the Brenda Godwin that meets, I think, on most Thursday nights. And this year we are studying Esther. We are his and should never forget that we have work to do to fulfill our commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 19 and 20.
Thank you, Betsy. 271. Stanton, no. Not. Standing on the promises. Let's stand and sing together. Hymn number 271.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Last verse.
Standing on the promises I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in his Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank you. You may be seated.
That verse is my favorite.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
If you got your Bibles, head to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. Don't put your Bible away when we get done, because then we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when we get done with that, we're headed off to Ephesians chapter 1. And then we'll find ourselves to Colossians chapter 1 as well. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to start with verses 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. All right, now off to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And now to Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Ephesians 1:22. And God placed all things under his feet, referring to Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And now off to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Colossians 1, 17 and 18. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. All right, what's the common theme? And tonight I don't have so much of a message, but I'll share with you about an article that really captured my attention this past week. But I wanted to start here to kind of introduce the article. What was the common theme of all the passages? Body of Christ. Absolutely. And so if we take serious this idea that as Christians and as local congregations, we are indeed the body of Christ, and I'm thinking that we had better take it serious. In fact, we probably ought to take it maybe a little more serious than we do on more occasions. If we are really his hands and feet, we better make sure that his hands are doing the right things and his feet are taking us to the right places, right? We're his body. I don't want to take Jesus to the wrong place. I don't want him to hear me saying something I'm not supposed to say, or I don't want to see him or have him see my hands doing something they're not supposed to. So the body of Christ is important. And it's not just as each of us as Christians, and each of us are a part of it, but so is each local congregation. We're not the totality of the body of Christ as TMSC. We just are not. We're just a member, a segment of the body of Christ. And so I believe that God organizes us, groups us together, puts us where he wants us in order that we will be able to do those things that he wants done. So I believe that the mission of the church isn't set by any individual. The mission and purpose of the church is not set by any group out there, but it is set solely by Jesus himself. And because he said it, it's non-negotiable, and I believe it's pretty clear, right? I mean, over and over, we could go back just like we did at the beginning here as we talked about different verses that talk about the body of Christ and how we as Christians form that body. We could go back and be pretty specific about what our mission and purpose as a church is to be. We're supposed to introduce people to Jesus and then help them grow in their faith. It goes back even to what God himself did, right? For God so loved that he gave his son. In other words, the expression of God's love was that he had to do something. He had to share his love with us. And so as his body, it would only make sense if that's what Jesus was about, then that's what we are. So we are to intentionally share the love of Jesus with all people. His love compels us, says the Apostle Paul. Jesus said, as I have been sent, I send you. Jesus said, go out into all the world. And when he said all the world, by the way, I believe he meant just that. I don't believe we get to pick and choose where we want to go and who we want to speak to. I believe that he sends us out there to whoever that we can reach. So God has organized us and grouped us together. And that means that you're a part of the body. It means that we as, you know, the Southern Methodist Church of Turbyville, we are a part of the body. And we're supposed to be sharing his love with others. Well, the article that really captured my attention this past week was entitled, If Your Church Closed Its Doors, Would the Neighborhood Care? What? Think about that just a little bit. If we didn't exist, would Turbyville care? Not us, because we're a part of it. Of course, we would care. We've got history, we've got tradition and all that. We'd care, but what about the rest of the community? And as you can tell, it really spawned the imagination. I mean, I began to think about different things and make notes. Now the article talks primarily about, by the way, about why millennials, those people in their, well, mid to late 20s and early 30s, are leaving the church in droves. And even though that may not be true of us, and it really isn't true of us, if it's true of other congregations, then as part of the body of Christ, that should concern us. And there's a lot of people leaving the church today. And in fact, as the article began, he started with saying, can someone be a disciple, even though, or can they be a disciple, even though they condemn sexual immorality and yet have no heart for the poor? Can they be a disciple, even though if they go to church and have perfect attendance and lead Bible studies but have no concern for the local community? In other words, there's got to be something more to it than just showing up, right? That there's and if there isn't something more to it, then maybe the community wouldn't care if the church closed. But anyway, as I begin to think about why churches close, I mean, I begin to wonder, how can that be, really? I mean, when you stop and think about it, how can churches close? I mean, we're the body of Christ here, right? I mean, we've been born again, and that's radical talk. If you know Jesus, you've been born from above. You're a new creation in Christ. You're not the same person that knelt at the altar and invited him into your life. You are absolutely different. And if we're a new creation and we're different, well, aren't we supposed to be what Jesus said? Are we not supposed to be a light set on a hill that the world sees? And if we are in Christ, aren't we the salt of the earth? Hey, by the way, if you're having a nice, big, juicy piece of corn, and it's got, you know, just swimming in butter, what else do you like on it? Man, I got to have salt. And you know what? If the salt isn't on it, I know it instantly, right? If it's missing it, you know it. Well, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And so if we're not in the earth, it ought to be obvious. Hey, we're missing. So why on earth do churches close their doors? Why? What's happening? Why? How are they dying? I mean, we've got the answers. We've got the good news. We know the way. We're supposed to be full of light and love and life. So how is it that there are churches out there, and we have them all the time? Look around. If you listen, churches are closing. And does anybody care? Well, I think maybe, and I don't know, I certainly didn't come up with any sort of an all-inclusive list of why churches close. But I wondered about many things. I wonder if sometimes as churches, we don't become theologically selective in what we want to really focus on, to the point that we forget the main thing. I mean, sometimes I wonder, are not many churches known more for what they are against rather than what they are for? Now, I understand, we absolutely, as churches, we ought to have a voice, and our voice ought to be one, and we ought to be condemning such things as sexual immorality and abortion and these things. We need that voice. Our world needs that voice. But I don't think that's the main thing, reason why churches exist tonight. I think if we're not careful, we can become more caught up in the things that we're against rather than promoting the thing that we're for. And I'm for Jesus. See, I'm for him. I'm for his salvation. I'm for his love. I've felt his love, and it's good. And I know that as a child of God, I'm sent out to share that love. That's what I'm here for. We're out here to share that love. And I think if we're not careful, I think we can get caught up so that we forget that we're not about the things that God's about. I mean, think about it. Can a church really be reflecting the love of Jesus and not care about the poor in their community? I could have read to you just as many passages about how God is concerned about the poor as I read to you about the passages how we form the body of Christ. I mean, God's concerned. In fact, over and over it says God's concerned. And are we really sharing the love of Jesus if we're not concerned? And how do you show concern for the poor? Well, we certainly can get together and we pray for the poor. Absolutely, yes. We believe in prayer. We know that prayer makes a difference. But I got to believe if you're poor out there, you want more than prayers. So how do we do that? How do we share the love of Christ in practical ways? Maybe part of the problem is not only, you know, we get misfocused. Maybe part of the problem is we like looking the part, we just don't like living the part. It's kind of interesting, but athletic apparel is supposed to increase in sales by 50% by the year 2020. In other words, it's going to be a $100 billion market. The interesting thing is, the overwhelming majority of people that buy athletic apparel have no intentions of exercising or doing anything with it. They just want to look good, right? I mean, that's what they say. Oh, I don't have any. I'm not going to run. I may be buying running shoes, but I'm not going to be running. I want my feet to look good. And I wonder if sometimes... I wonder if sometimes we don't get caught up in wanting to look really good on Sundays and sound really good as we sing those songs and pray those really powerful sounding prayers, you know, looking the part, but then not living the part the rest of the week. Not letting that love that has filled us overflow so that when we're out there, and you're going to be dealing with people this week. Even if you try your best to stay away from folks, they're going to find you. Are we going to really share the love? Are we going to tell them about Jesus? Or do we just want to carry a nice, pretty Bible on Sunday and look the part? I don't know. Unfortunately, I think it's just awful easy to get misfocused with what we're doing because, well, I think we're easy prey for Satan. We're all sinful, fallen creatures. We have this selfish side to us, and so it's not that hard to get us to mess up. And if we're not careful, I mean, all of a sudden we simply begin to walk away from the very things that would keep us safe. You see, I think one of the things that gets us misfocused as a church is our own busyness. I mean, and I don't care whether you're young or old tonight, every last one of us is busy. Every last one of us is trying to cram as much as we can possibly cram into a day to the point that what often we fail to do is spend time with the Lord. I mean, however it is that you do that on a regular basis. And by the way, no relationship can survive if you're not spending time together. That's just a fact. And when we don't spend time with the Lord, it's like we put this big bullseye on our back and walk around and say, okay, Satan, here I am. I'm easy prey. I'm just too busy today. And our busyness, I think, robs us of our depth. I mean, to the Corinthians, Paul said, look, you ought to be ready for meat, but I've still given you milk here because you've not grown up. I think if we're not careful, if we get busy, then we stop growing. If you're not growing, then you're going the wrong way. The truth is, think about how Jesus would at times step out of his life, his ministry, and all that was going on. It says, and he withdrew to a solitary place. Not only, I think, to refresh himself, but probably to refocus himself. Man, and if Jesus needed it, I know I've got to have it, okay? If we get too busy, then I think sometimes we get so caught up with what we're doing, it's like, well, I would share the love of Jesus intentionally and let them know that Jesus loves them like he loves me, but I'm just too busy. I would care about the poor, but I'm too busy. I would stop and help that person, and I know they need help, and I've got what they need, but I'm too busy. See, I believe busyness deadens us. Probably, it's almost like it just takes away, I think, our burden. Not only for the Lord, but if we lose our burden for the Lord, we lose our burden to see other people saved. See, business simply brings on tiredness, doesn't it? And I'll just warn you, if you know that I'm tired, don't ask me something. Because I get painfully honest when I get tired. And I know it's like, ooh, you know. And that's what happens. And so if we're not careful, we're going to let all our busyness, or we're going to let our image, we're going to let all these things rob us from the very things that God wants us to do. If your church closed its doors, would the neighborhood care? Would they even notice that it was closed? Mark said we ought to put out a little yell thing in front of the church this week and say close and see how many people stop and wonder why. That might be a good idea. Would anybody stop? And we might be really upset if they didn't, right? But that bids the question. What are we doing in our community that is so God-like? And you know what God's like. You've experienced God in your own life. You're part of His body. You absolutely know what He likes. All right? What are we doing in our community that is so God-like that people would miss us if we weren't doing it? One church, or one pastor from a church called the Imago Dei, which simply means image of God, he said, we want to be so vital to our community around us that if we closed our doors, the entire neighborhood would get upset. Another church goes out every 6 weeks on Sunday morning. Every 6 weeks, and they call it Serve Sunday. And they go out and they serve their neighborhood. They identify needs. How do you identify needs, by the way? You got to look. You got to listen. You got to get out there. You got to be with them, right? And so they go out and they identify all these needs for 6 weeks. And if the need is food, they take food. If it's putting on a roof, they put on a roof. If it's cleaning a yard, they clean a yard. Whatever it is. And it's not just, you know, I love the idea of what the Cartwright men are doing, by the way, now. And we've asked for different ones in our church. So if you've got a need, we want to help out. But this church has taken that even a step further and said, you know, you don't even have to be a member of a church. It just doesn't matter who you are. If you have a need, we want you to know that we're gonna try to help. And so every 6 weeks, they don't even gather in their sanctuary. Now, I'm not saying that's what we ought to do, because I think every church is unique and different, okay? But I'm saying, isn't that something to think about, meeting needs in the community in such a way that people will know you're there? A church with its eyes on God and a willingness to truly be the body of Christ never has to worry about making a difference, because you always will. And a church that is really the body of Christ never has to worry about being missed, because the doors will never close. Churches die and close their doors because they cease being the body of Christ. They cease being the love of Jesus to their community. People don't come just because the doors are open. They don't come just because we can sing pretty good. They don't come just because. I think people are drawn to Christ because they know there's a need in their life. They need a relationship with Christ. And people come seeking that. And if we are the extension of His body, if we let His love flow through our lives, then we're going to find the needs of our community. And then we're going to take the next step, which is the even more difficult step, and that is we're going to say, Lord, if you want to use us to try to meet that need, we're ready. That's big. So I don't know. If your church closed its doors, would the neighborhood notice? Let's pray. Lord, we don't We certainly don't understand the depth of what it means to truly be a part of your body. But Lord, we embrace it as best that we can, and we know that you not only have organized and grouped us together here to be a part of your body, but you've also, as individuals, given us different gifts in which we can use that's going to build up the body, that's going to help us share your love with our community better than we've done it before. Lord, the truth is, I know that there are needs in our community that you absolutely want us to meet. Show us, Lord. Assure us, Lord, that you'll use us. Help us, Lord, to be available for you. Because we truly do want to be. Well, we want to be your body. We want to be your hands and feet. We want to be the expression of your love to our community. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go make a difference.